Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. This year marks the start of a new partnership for the Pinnacle Awards, which have for many years honored outstanding contributions by women in Tulsa from the Mayor's Commission on the Status of Women. Well, this year, the commission has partnered with YWCA Tulsa to better publicize the achievement of these honorees. Earlier this week, the mayor presented the 10 honorees with the Pinnacle Award, and tomorrow night they will be further recognized in a gala evening event. This year's honorees include Bama Company CEO Paula Marshall, who's receiving the Ann C. Roth Legacy Award, as well as 10 Pinnacle Women of the Year, educator Shirley Ann Ballard Nero, Senator Judy Eason McIntyre, OSU Medical Foundation Director Janice Edmiston, Tulsa World Executive Editor Susan Ellerbach, Soraya Ann Foundation's Allison Lee Moore, the Tulsa Community Foundation Program Officer Suzanne Schreiber, educator Ellen Stackable, and Women Empowering Nations Executive Director Kerlisha Williams, as well as my two guests today, the Senior Student Affairs Officer at Tulsa Community College, Dr. Jan Clayton, and the Executive Director of DIVIS, a Domestic Violence Intervention Services, Tracy Lyle. All 10 honorees have made major contributions to our community. Today, we'll hear about the work of two. Jan Clayton, Tracy Lyle, thanks very much for joining us, and congratulations on the Pinnacle Award.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is the first year for the YWCA Tulsa to team up with the Mayor's Commission on the Status of Women. Before we talk about some of your excellent accomplishments in your various fields, let's talk about the barriers for women in your respective fields, in education, and obviously, despite all of the publicity and knowledge about domestic violence, the recurring rates for domestic violence in Oklahoma. What do you say the biggest issues surrounding both of your fields in regard to women? Tracy?
You know, in terms of domestic violence, you know, as you mentioned, we're all throughout the media, it's very much a prevalent issue in our community. I think what we strive to do most is let women know that we are here and available for help. One of the key things we can do to prevent a domestic violence homicide is to just offer services and safety planning to someone. And really, that's getting them to talk with us on the phone or walk through the door initially. So, you know, raising awareness is what we're all about, and trying to let women and men and families in Tulsa know that we're here and we're here to help if there's violence in the home.
And in education,
sure.
Jan?
You know, in higher ed, although the number of women attending college versus men tends to be slightly higher, I think that access continues to be an ongoing issue, particularly when you think about women many times as head of households, working families, children, those responsibilities. For that adult student, the resources, the time, the opportunity to come to school or come back to school continues to be a challenge.
Yeah, and it's sort of irony that the rates for women attending are higher, but there are remarkable barriers for a lot of women who do already have a family or they're working.
Absolutely.
Well, one of the things you do at TCC is administer Tulsa Achieves, which has been, it's an incredible opportunity for any student in this area. What would you say the impact of Tulsa Achieves is? Is it too early to say what impact it has had on the community?
You know, I think long-term history will speak to it, but in the immediate, it's exciting to be able to say that more than 12,000 students have participated in the program since we started in 2007. It's really exciting to look at how the program has impacted student success. When we look at the data at our institution, those direct from high school students who participate in the TA program, they persist, which for us in higher ed simply means that they come back after the first semester. They perform academically at a very high level. And so it's really exciting to see the benefit of the program for those students who can participate in it.
Now, retention rates are big for all universities, whether it's 4-year or 2-year. Is that a big issue on a community college level?
It certainly is. Part of the challenge in the community college is our students come to us for a variety of reasons. Some of our students are coming to us because they want a degree that will take them directly into the workforce. Other students are coming to complete their first 2 years and transfer to a 4-year. And yet still there are students who are simply coming to do some additional training that to maybe support the job that they have. So that complexity, I think, contributes to the fact that our numbers are not where we'd like to see them in terms of graduation rates. So that is important work that at TCC we're taking very seriously. And, you know, across the country, community colleges are doing that work.
Now, what I've seen anecdotally is a lot of students that are using Tulsa Achieve as an economic stimulus for them. They're going to school free for the first 2 years. They're fully intending on going to 4 years, but they're saving 2 years of student loans and basically saving for those last 2 years of a 4-year degree. How many students are taking advantage of that?
Absolutely. Each year we have an entering class that ranges anywhere from about 1,500 to 1,800. And those are direct from high school students. So we call them a cohort for that given year. Since we've started the program, over 12,000 students have participated. Each year, the program is for 63 credit hours or 3 years, whichever of those comes first. So on average, we have close to 4,000 students each year that are at the college that are part of the TA program. So I think a lot of students and their families really are beginning to understand the value and the opportunity to participate in TA.
Now, have you done any tracking since this program started in 2007 on what the students are doing once they've completed Tulsa Achieves?
Yes, absolutely. The most important metric we track is the graduation rate.
From TCC?
There you go. And that's pretty exciting. It's more than double the graduation rate for students from the same background of direct from high school. We've got strong relationships with our 4-year institutions, universities that surround us. So we know that quite a few of our students transfer to schools like OSU and NSU and RSU and OU. And so that's really exciting as well.
My guests today are two of the 10 inaugural recipients of the Women of the Year Pinnacle Awards. And the Pinnacle Awards have been around for years, but this is the first year in which it is a partnership between the YWCA Tulsa and the Mayor's Commission on the Status of Women. And there will be an award ceremony tomorrow evening. And my guests today are Dr. Jan Clayton, Senior Student Affairs Officer at Tulsa Community College, and Tracy Lyle, the Executive Director of Domestic Violence Intervention Services. Now, one of the big things you've done, Tracy, at DVIS in the last couple of years is a major fundraising campaign to come up with a new shelter and counseling services. What dimension does this add to your ability to serve the community?
Well, DVIS started a capital campaign, $25 million, about 3 years ago to build a emergency shelter for women, men, and children who are impacted by domestic violence. That campaign also included a 20-unit transitional housing apartment building that's longer-term housing for families, and it also includes a new counseling and administrative office that is currently in the process of being built. So the construction of the new shelter really took DVIS from about 25-year-old, 50-bed emergency shelter to an 80-bed, state-of-the-art shelter in Tulsa. So we can serve nightly up to 80 or more men, women, and children. We did add a special place for men who are impacted by domestic violence, and we also are the first shelter in the state to have a kennel. So if someone's fleeing from a violent home, they can bring their pets with
them. Is that an issue for somebody? I would think you wouldn't think so, but probably it really is.
Yeah, it really is. And that's one of the things in our old shelter that we noticed is that when families would call us, they would say, well, can I bring my dog or my cat? And at our old location, of course, we weren't able to accommodate that. So we intentionally built a kennel. So that they would not have to worry about their family pet and bring their pet with them when they come to shelter.
Now, going from 50 beds to 80 beds, as that means there's free occupancy at this point, or have you found that it just filled up pretty quick?
You know, we're sort of hovering around 60 to 65 people in the facility, so we have not reached full occupancy yet, but we've already far exceeded the number of families served in 2015. We've been in operation a full year, so we've far exceeded what we served in the previous year in our new facility.
Now, when people come seeking shelter, I would imagine it comes after a long process. Can you maybe describe that process for a woman or a family or a man to eventually say, I've got to get out of this situation?
You know, usually by the time someone is seeking shelter from us, they've endured months and often years of all types of abuse. You know, the physical violence doesn't typically show itself first. Many times we have women describe to us a period of verbal abuse and demeaning and controlling type behavior that later escalates into more physical violence where it becomes much more dangerous. So many times when families come to us, they've been through quite a bit of trauma. One of the things we really focus on is providing trauma-informed services to the families who come to us, knowing that they have endured oftentimes years of trauma and had some pretty significant experiences that impact them and their children today. So we have licensed counselors at DIVIS that provide counseling and services to the women and children, and pretty proud that we can do that at DIVIS and really impact the trauma. Because really, if we're going to impact the cycle of domestic violence, particularly with children, and impact the cycle so that it doesn't repeat itself into the next generation, it takes, you know, some trauma-informed work with kids to make that happen. And we can do that.
And it sounds like certainly early intervention is one of the best strategies to reduce that trauma that you're talking about. One of the interesting things between your two institutions is you're actually putting counselors in universities, correct?
Yes, we have a new partnership with TCC that we have a counselor who is on site on campus with them. They've opened up the campus to us and welcomed our counselor to be there to support students who may be dealing with these same issues, dating violence, domestic violence, or sexual assault on campus, and really appreciate TCC partnering with us.
Is it really geared more towards sexual assault or dating violence at a university, or, you know, a student shows up with a black eye? And I mean, is it that sort of intervention from the educational standpoint,
Dr. Clayton? Absolutely. And I want to reiterate that this opportunity is really possible because of leadership from both areas, but particularly DIVIS approached us about this opportunity for our students. And essentially, we have integrated the support of this counselor into our crisis response team work. And they communicate and talk about, you know, how to make those referrals to students. And sometimes what they've been able to do for us is really encourage students to report and identify concerns to the college. Because in this particular work, and I was sharing with Tracy, I got to do this for 10 years with a great group called Help in Crisis in Tahlequah. It's really about them reaching out and making a connection. And when they make a connection, you really have to make sure that you can point them in the right direction to get support. I listened to Tracy talk about the work that they're doing, and I just think it's so critically important. We get students who come to us at the college, and they've got a lot of need. And sometimes that need is around issues of safety. And to be able to have a resource, I really can't count the number of times we've been able to direct students to DIVIS to get support that we didn't necessarily have in place to provide them as a college.
And, of course, higher education is finally catching up to these issues in higher education, in the social setting of higher education, that for probably way too long, they either look the other way, and that has to do with dating violence, sexual assault. Now, TCC is a commuter campus as opposed to a residential campus, but all higher education is starting to take this a lot more serious, and it's probably long overdue. And are you playing a role with higher education throughout the community, or is this the first partnership?
This initially was our first partnership with Tulsa Community College and the University of Tulsa. But you're correct. I mean, there's just been so much that's happened nationally on campuses across the country. And I think awareness has been heightened as well. So the
the legal ramifications really, I'm sorry to say that it's probably as much legal ramifications for a university as the incidents.
Yes. So the Department of Justice, through the Office on Violence Against Women, makes funding available to communities to specifically address these issues on campuses. And so we are in the process of preparing a grant application to continue to provide this kind of support on college campuses. And the Victims of Crime Assistance funding is currently what's providing the counselor that is on campus over at TCC.
Yeah. And Jan, would you say the average student knows about these services at this point, or is that still an ongoing sort of?
That's definitely a part of the ongoing process. We've got a really strong student government association at the college, and we actually have been talking about particular issue of family violence and sexual violence as a group, and they're excited about some of the ways that they can facilitate these conversations with their peers. But that's definitely ongoing work to make sure that students are informed, aware, and know that these resources exist, because Tracy pointed that out earlier. A lot of times students don't understand that there is support, there is help available.
Or it doesn't apply to the category of abuse or harassment that's going on in a particular relationship. I think that's 90% of your job, I think, is really.
Yes, it is. And many times people think because they don't consider verbal abuse to be that bad, or, you know, I thought Divis was a place that if I had a black eye, I could go there. But if I've been controlled or verbally abused and put down and that Divis really isn't a place for me. And that's one of the things we try to say, no, it's.
And unfortunately, you know, sometimes the black eye is considered not serious, too. It's a hard decision for an individual in that situation to make, to go seek help. But I know that's a big part of what you're about.
It is.
My guests today are Tracy Lyle, the Executive Director of Domestic Violence Intervention Services, and Dr. Jan Clayton, a Senior Student Affairs Officer at TCC. They are 2 of 10 Pinnacle Award winners, Women of the Year from the YWCA Tulsa for the first year partnering with the Mayor's Commission on the Status of Women. And they received their awards Tuesday, and we'll actually have another awards honoring them tomorrow evening. And they're our guests today on Studio Tulsa. So let's talk about some of the other things. One of the things you've been very much involved with, Dr. Clayton, has been having equitable learning experiences. Now, that could be for people of color as well as gender. What are some of the barriers to these equitable learning experiences in your mind?
I think that one of the areas that, you know, we strive to do really good work is we want to create a community that's reflective of the community that we serve. And so TCC spent some time in making sure through outreach and recruitment that we attract students to the college that represent Tulsa County and the diverse demographic that is here. We've done great work there, and now we're putting our focus on how we then retain students that we attract. I personally connect to that mission because I am, again, higher ed speak, what's known as a first generation college student. I came from a working class family. My mother completed high school. Actually, she did not technically complete. She completed with a GED. My father was in the military, took some college classes as a part of the GI Bill. But until my sister, who's a year in front of me, went to Oklahoma State University, no one in my immediate family had attended college. And so there's still so much work to do to help students who come from that type of background understand how the process works, so that they can access higher ed.
Yeah, well, you know, the differences between high school and higher ed are profound. And for those first generations, they have very few either peer groups or parental or adult folks to sort of help them, guide them through that process of the fact that nobody's going to call you if you don't go to class.
Right. And they may have the support. I have the parental support, but without the experience to go with that support, you know, you can be encouraged from the standpoint of, we're here to support you, you can do it, but how do you navigate the system? Where do you go to start? Who do you ask the questions to? That's information that they wouldn't have access to.
That's right, just from managing your own bank account to being able to provide financial aid information.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I know that's a big push right now, that is just get people to fill out FAFSAs.
Yes. I can remember, like yesterday, my parents sitting with their tax information spread out across the kitchen table with my sister, again, who was a year in front of me, and them looking at these intricate forms and the lines on the tax form and how those matched up with the FAFSA form. Fortunately, the Department of Education has come a long way, and they have begun to simplify that FAFSA process. So now they actually have begun to use technology where you can link up your tax forms to the FAFSA app, and it actually can pull that data into the app and give them the information that they need. Not to mention just simplifying the form itself, but.
But still, there's a lot of people who just say they look at it and they go, I can't navigate it. I can't start this. Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, that's a big push, right? My guests today are Dr. Jan Clayton and Tracy Lyle, two of the 10 Pinnacle Award winners. And Tracy, I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the ongoing efforts of domestic violence intervention. DVIS has been working with law enforcement. There's been a long-term effort in helping them understand the intricacies of a domestic violence situation, but there's something called a lethality assessment. Can you talk a little bit about that? What's going on with this?
Yes. Initially, DVIS partnered with Tulsa Police Department, Broken Arrow Police Department, and there were about seven other locations across the state, and did a research project with the University of Oklahoma Health Sciences Center in Oklahoma City and Arizona State University and Johns Hopkins University. So it started in about a three-year process of trying it a little bit differently, and in that I mean, when law enforcement would respond to a domestic violence call, this research looked at a different way to intervene in the situation and presented something called the lethality assessment, which essentially is an 11-item questionnaire that law enforcement asks the domestic violence victim at the scene to determine the level of risk of that person to be further harmed or killed by their partner. And this research went on for about 3 years and has now been published. But in November of 2014, Oklahoma was one of the first states to add this to law, that law enforcement officers at the scene ask these questions and determine who the victim is at the scene and determine their risk. And then in that determination, also connect them with the local domestic violence program, picking up the phone while they're at the scene with the victim and connecting them to service, to services at DVIS. The first project was actually in Maryland, and they greatly reduced their domestic violence homicides in Maryland when they put this into place. And what they realized is that only 4% of domestic violence victims nationally ever walked through the door to receive services from a domestic violence program in the year prior to their death. 4% of domestic violence.
That's just incredibly low.
Yeah, you can see how critical it is that law enforcement connect a victim to the domestic violence program. We can offer immediate shelter if they need it or would like it. We can offer safety planning. Okay, if you're not going to come to shelter tonight or you don't want to come tonight, then what else can we look at to keep you safe in the next 24 hours, 48 hours, and in the coming weeks? And our advocates are trained to do that over the phone. So really, and then also, if you don't want to come today, how about walking in? You don't need an appointment. You can come to our office at 4030 on Harvard and just see someone 8:30 to 5. You don't need to call ahead for an appointment, so we want you to know that. And so we can give victims critical information by phone when they're in the middle of the crisis. And, you know, this has really been critical across the country to reduce homicides. And so the law went into effect in 2014 here in Oklahoma, and law enforcement has been trained across the state to follow this protocol when they're called to a scene.
Is it being followed yet?
You know, we are in, I would say we're still learning and implementing. The officers have been trained, and we're reinforcing that training continually. Tulsa Police Department has reached out to DIVIS and asked us to provide an advocate to go out on the scene, and now they can actually call and request that we come onto the scene with the police to provide intervention there. And so that's had a little bit of a slow startup, but we were really pleased that they reached out to us to provide that, and we're preparing ourselves to provide more of that as we get more calls.
Yeah, and it sounds like that 11 questions sort of gives an officer a whole range of options, whether it's, okay, you need to leave this house tonight and we need to find shelter, to a cooling off period or anything in between, right?
Yes, it does. And those 11 questions are questions that have been studied and researched to be the most important questions you could ask a victim to determine their further risk of harm. So it's things like, does the person have access to weapons? Have they ever strangled you? Have you recently tried to leave the relationship? Has the person ever threatened to commit suicide if you leave? There's a series of questions that would just indicate high risk to someone. And then again, the officers, our officers are well trained to really recognize.
But as we well know, police officers, these are the most stressful calls they probably receive.
They are.
Yeah.
And, so even the sort of process allows the officer to sort of, even if maybe the answers weren't all yes to the questions that were asked, to still self-select a person and say, you know what, I'm concerned for your safety, so we're gonna call DIVIS while I'm here today.
Well,
so it allows for the officer to sort of make that determination.
Well, as far as DIVIS, you mentioned the new facility, and you're breaking ground on a new counseling center, too. So things are going very well for this organization.
We've been very pleased with the community support. We had a very old shelter, and it's just been time. It's long overdue to build the kind of facilities that the demand is requiring and asking of us. So it's been nice to move into some new facilities, and it'll be nice to move into a new counseling office.
Well, we congratulate you both for all of your work in the community, in education, in reducing domestic violence. Jane and Tracy, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Two of the 10 inaugural honorees under the new Women of the Year Pinnacle Awards, which is now a partnership between YWCA Tulsa and the Mayor's Commission on the Status of Women. Dr. Jan Clayton is the Senior Student Affairs Officer at Tulsa Community College. Tracy Lyles, the Executive Director of DIVIS, Domestic Violence Intervention Services. Pinnacle Awards will have a gala evening event tomorrow evening. You can learn more about all of the honorees at ywcatulsa.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.